Let's see if I am able again to make something a little wordy, not too much mix up. As we are approaching the end of the liturgical year, the church is always presenting us like the last realities, reminding us that this world will pass, and that everything would be restored in Christ. All of this is reminding us that we are pilgrims, that we cannot find our security here, that we cannot live our relationship with the things of this world. They have to be marked by that idea that they will pass, that they will perish. And then we need to found our lives in the realities that will never pass. We have to have always present the eternal life. We may think, in relation with the talk we had just before Mass, that we were talking about indwelling of the Holy Trinity and the mystics and all of that, we may think that they live their lives like lost in the clouds. These guys, they were up there. They had no Facebook, no newspapers. They had no clue about this world. But it's funny to see and to realize that precisely the saints, those who have been closer to the Lord, they have been the one who were able to make more works in this earth, works of charity, hospitals. Father Pio, for instance, what a life. What a life. There's a huge hospital there. Casa Sollievo de la Sofferenza, house for the relief of suffering. Everything, you know, a mystic. Somebody who was lost in the clouds. No, precisely the presence of God in him was bringing him to work here to transform this earth, this reality, according with the kingdom of God. Then for all of us has to be like that too. To live our faith is not making us to be thinking in mystical realities and to forget about our daily lives. Because the presence of God in our lives has to transform everything around us. Today's gospel was talking about persecution. And some of the programs that the sisters have prepared in Spain, one of them is about the persecuted church. Somebody said that the persecution would be like the normal state for the church. But sometimes I am afraid that we Catholics can have like a too easy life. When we, in this program, particular program, I saw was a Chinese bishop. And he's in prison because he's a bishop, faithful to Rome. And then once a week, he's allowed to come out to the window to bless his people. And that was a very impressive picture for me. It's like, boom, here in my mind. And you see this old man with the typical prisoner clothes is showing a big crucifix through the rails of his window with a big smile, you know, blessing his people, encouraging the Catholics with his testimony. He's in prison to be faithful to Christ. And then we can ask ourselves, what am I suffering for my faith? What kind of persecutions I suffer? Maybe if somebody, I mean, we can be sometimes afraid that they may say something, that they may think lowly about ourselves, that they make just a smile because we are Catholics, because we are trying to live our faith. And then we need to have courage. I felt when I was watching that program, that particular one, I was feeling really ashamed myself, because I was asking myself, you know, my life is too easy. And you see these people, I mean, they are in prison, they are dying for the confession of our faith. And then I'm always complaining by stupid things, living a very comfortable life. And sometimes I don't move my finger just to do something for the Lord, to suffer a little bit for my faith. Then these persecutions, where are in my life? Because this, in the measure that I am able to accept some suffering, I can say that I love God. Because you really love when you are able to suffer for something or for somebody. When there is no suffering, love is diminishing. And we need to be ready to suffer for the Lord, to confess our faith, to be witnesses of our faith, to be apostles, to speak, to work for the glory of the Lord and for the salvation of all our brothers and sisters. We were speaking before about this life of plenitude. We know that, you know, people out there, even those who have no clue who God is and who Christ is, they can be saved if they are faithful to their conscience, if they have not received the preaching about Christ and was not their fault. We know that they can be saved, but it is not just that. All of them, they are called to the plenitude, the fullness of Christian life. And we Catholic Church, with all humility and confusion, but we have to say that we have the fullness of the means for sanctity. We have the church, we have the sacraments, we have Our Lady, we have the priesthood, we have the Eucharist. So many things that only the Catholic Church has, and we cannot keep that for ourselves. We have to bring that to everybody, because all the children of God, they have the right to reach that fullness of Christian life. And the Catholic Church is the best way, the one that Christ has instituted to bring and that fullness of life to everybody. Another idea that we can reflect today is like the first sentence of the Gospel, when Jesus speaks about how the temple is going to be destroyed. This is not just something that will happen. You know that in the year 70, Titus, the Roman emperor, came to Jerusalem and destroyed the city, the temple, everything. Then that prophecy was accomplished. But the meaning is not just a historical meaning. It has also like a theological meaning. And what is the theological meaning of the destruction of the temple? Before, in the Old Testament, God has given the people of Israel a certain way, a certain, let's say, liturgy, a certain way to worship Him. And that worship was very much linked to the temple. It was based on the alliance, the covenant that God did with Moses. And He gave him the Ten Commandments. But now with Christ, there is a new reality. We don't need anymore a temple in that sense. I mean, the presence of God is not linked to a particular place, because the new temple is Jesus Himself, His risen body. He said in St. John, "Destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days." He was talking about His own body. Then Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, is the new temple in which we can have a new worship. The true and eternal way to worship God would be through Christ. That through His resurrection has become the eternal and high priest. Then He is present in His church. He is present here in the person of the priest. He is present in His word, in the Eucharist. And with him, we unite ourselves to the heavenly liturgy. There is this communion. We here, the Pilgrim Church on earth, we are linked, really united to the heavenly liturgy. When we say in the preface, with all the angels and archangels, we sing the hymn of your glory. It's not just a poem, something poetic, it's a reality. When we are celebrating this liturgy, we are in union, in intimate communion with the heavenly church, where Christ is the center, the Lamb that has been slaughtered. He's there, presenting his wounds before the Father, interceding eternally for us. Then through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, we can give now the perfect worship to God. And that perfect worship has like a two level, like a cross. It's the perfect glorification of the Father. Remember that all the mission of Jesus was to give glory to the Father. Father, glorify your name. Hallowed be thy name. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the perfect glorification of the Father. And at the same time, his death and resurrection that we celebrate in the Eucharist is the perfect sanctification of his people. Through the Eucharist, we can really enter, we can really drink the sanctity, the life, the joy that is inside the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the redemption. Then the destruction of the temple is bringing this new reality, this new worship, this new priesthood. And then through that, we all can glorify God. And also, as you know, when we celebrate the Eucharist, and in one of the tapes of Fulton Sheen, he was explaining this too. We, through baptism, we are priests. You have the common priesthood. And with your lives, with your sufferings, with your works, you come to the Eucharist. You present your whole life here on the altar with Jesus Christ, so that you can also become part of that liturgy. And then our whole reality, our daily lives, are getting a holy, a sacred dimension. We don't live anymore like pagans, working here, there, doing things. Everything we do is related to the glory of God. Has to be there. We live for his glory. And then we get that. And we bring all of that here to the altar. All our sufferings and joys, all our works, we bring them here and we offer them with Christ, the high and eternal priest, for the glory of the Father and for the sanctification, our own sanctification and the sanctification of our brothers. Because through the mystery of the Eucharist and through our work, our apostolic work out there, the life of Christ is given to all our brothers and sisters. And finally, one last idea. You will be hated by all because of my name. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives. That perseverance implies capacity of suffering. We very easily we stop in our pilgrimage towards the Lord. We stop when we have contradictions, when we have sufferings, when we have difficulties. And to persevere is not just to be here. I'm still in the church, Father. I go to Mass every Sunday. To persevere is not just to stay. To persevere is to look with all my strength, to unite myself to God, to grow, as I was trying to explain before. St. Paul was telling the first Christian, you are like children. I cannot give you solid food because you are still children in your faith. And then we are called to grow. we are called to maturity, and we are called to be lights for our brothers and sisters. One of a Spanish priest, he has a lot of writings. He said that how important the saints are in the church, and he was using the example of a child that is just eating on a table, a family, and then the child by his nature is just, you know, putting his hands on the food, getting the rice with his hand and eating like a little animal. If his mother is not there teaching him what is the proper way to eat, he will grow like that. Then that little animal that we all are when we are children will become like a mature person through the education. He has models that can teach him what a mature person has to be. And that's also the role of the saints in our church. They are showing us, we that are like children, they are showing us what Christian life is. What is a Christian? A full Christian is that, it's a saint. We are children. Then we need to look at them. We need to know their lives. We need to imitate their virtues, because they have reached the maturity, the fullness of Christian life. Then to persevere is not just to stay. It's to grow. Implies effort, decision, and above all, love. All of these decisions cannot be made just with our strength, saying, I'm going to do it. That's stupid. You can, without me, you can do anything. And you can repeat that a million times, and a million times you will fall again. But if we are humble, and then if we use the means that the Lord has given us, he said, without me you can do nothing. But St. Paul said, I can do everything in him who comforts me. Then if I work with the Lord, if I have my life of prayer, a frequent confession, if I read the scripture, if I try to mortify my old man, then I will grow with the help of the Lord. Because as we said at the beginning of this retreat, if we are looking for the Lord, much more he's looking for you. He's thirsty of us. He's thirsty of us, of our love, of our sanctity. He said, I came so that you can have life, and life in abundance. That's one of my favorite sentences. Life in abundance. And I don't know if that's our reality, or we are maybe starving. Anyway, let us continue the celebration of the Eucharist. He is there to be our food, to fill us with his life, to bring us that indwelling of the Holy Trinity, to transform us from within, to remove the obstacles. But we need to make the decision. Lord, I want to cooperate with you. I want to allow you to remove the obstacles in my life so that you can transform myself according to your image. May our Blessed Mother help all of us to reach that fullness of life that is sanctity. Amen.